This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Shabbat, Stutzle through the box, DeBrincat scores! Power play goal from DeBrincat.
Alex DeBrincat finishes this game off on a
DeBrincat power play goal from DeBrincat.
Oh, well, Kenny told me he had something special. He spent a lot of time on that this morning. He was very proud, and I said, don't play it for me. I want to hear it for the first time like everybody else, and it didn't disappoint. So let's go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and welcome in
meow.
One Gord Wilson, the meow man himself.
So fun. I'm going to go down as the highlight of my career. I can guarantee it.
I don't know.
Multiple Stanley Cup victories with the Ottawa Senators and
yep.
The season of 2022-23 and the year of the cat is going to go down as the highlight. Meow.
Now, I almost feel like we need to have our own little web poll. Like, which production is better? That one, and there will be a recency bias because it was awesome. We heard it for the very first time. Yep. Will that kind of usurp, the yodeler falling out of the tree and off the ladder?
Kenny
put together few years ago.
Well done, Ken, by the way. That's
thank
fantastic
you.
Today. I loved it. Yes. Job well done.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. And the falling off the ladder one, that just happened. Yeah.
Remind me of that one. Weren't you putting in a light and you got a little bit of a shock? And you lost your balance?
I was installing a ceiling fan at my sister's, and I said to her, have you turned the power off? And she said, yes. Little did I know that by her saying yes to the power, she went over to the wall switch and turned the wall switch off. Well, everything else was hot. And, of course, I'm three steps up on a ladder and touch something that's hot and get the shock of my life. And I got knocked off the ladder. And the only thing I remember about it is the sound that I made, which is that yodel kind of sound of falling off the ladder and picking myself up and looking at my sister. And said, did you go down to the panel downstairs and turn the power off? No. You didn't, did you? She goes, was that what I was supposed to do? Anyway.
Oh, no. That's your fault, Gord. You had to be more clear.
No,
100%. Just hitting the light switch does not cut the power. This just in.
Never know.
All right. I got a text that came in, a tweet at me. Lloydie, see if you can get an encore of Delilah at a Gord today. Now, because during the pregame last night, the organ was going, and you were in great mood. You were in fine form. You were singing your own stuff, and then we asked for a request, and we could hear you singing Delilah in the back, and it was a precursor to a fun night to be a Sens fan. See, I brought it back. And I know a lot of Sens fans made their way down to the Bell Center. I know Matt Hamer was there, one of the many as well. And now this team heads into the break on feeling pretty good about themselves, Gord, having won four in a row.
And today you look at the standings and they're one game above 500, first time since the 27th of October that the team is above 500. And it was a loss to Minnesota and they went to 4-3. And then they lost the next six in a row and went winless in seven. And they have not been above 500 since then. It was obviously that disastrous month of November again. Things started to pick up December 1st. And since then, the Senators at 16-10-2. have the 12th best record in the National Hockey League, and I know every team plays a different amount of games over a set period of time. So we look at points percentage, and they're also the 12th best team points percentage-wise. And obviously now you just think, cross your fingers that with this 9-day break and then a couple of days of practice, the return to ice on February the 11th will provide a little bit more stability as well, because we've certainly seen our fair share of it over the last, four games at least.
Gord, I know it can be tough to decipher sometimes with the headset on, but what was the atmosphere like at the Bell Center last night?
Yeah, it's funny that, and I know you do this as well as me, I take the headsets off every now and then just to sort of get myself involved in the atmosphere and what it's like. I know I do it a lot in playoff hockey and at the start of a hockey game, just to get yourself absorbed in what other people are feeling. And there's nothing better than, you know, 20,000 people in the building and cheering mostly for the same team. And it's just a wonderful experience. And last night it was busy, it was crowded, there's no doubt. But Steve, you're right about the number of Senator jerseys that we did see in the stands. And it was encouraging to see. The Canadians are obviously going through their own transition. It's still a love for hockey, though, in Montreal that people go and see the games for. And whether it's their home team or perhaps a team that's a couple of hundred kilometers down the road, there was a good contingent of Ottawa numbers that were in the crowd last night. So the atmosphere was good. It always is, Kenny. It's just it's top three in the NHL to broadcast a game from.
That was a fun game to watch, but sometimes when we say that, that means it can get a little sloppy for both teams. There were 9 goals. Is last night the Sens just they found a way to still pick up the points because they kept having the lead and they kept giving it back and they just found a way in the end. And some way, somehow, Gord, they're not always pretty, and they kept the winning streak intact.
Yeah, Mike Hoffman scores late in the second period to make it a 1-goal game, which, in other words, is a one-shot game, right? And if Montreal gets that one shot, it's all of a sudden 3-3, and how much time is left? Well, it took them half a period, but you could tell right off the get-go. And Dean actually said, we were talking about our FanDuel hit, he said, and I don't know, I think the over-under was, it went up, the live over-under went up by a half a puck or a goal or whatever it might have been. And Dean said, oh, I think this might be a sloppy period here, and I think you should take the over. He was just offering some fun advice, and sure enough, and I know I commented on this the first two shifts. I said, Dean, your prediction is coming true here. It's a small sample size, but the Senators are playing pretty loose. Around their own blue line and certainly around their own net, there were 2 or 3 turnovers that led to chances or near chances. Anton Forsberg made a couple of saves, and it took Montreal half a period to figure it out, but, you know, halfway through, they tied things up. Harvey Pinard got the equalizer, and you could see it. And I think I commented at the time, guys, that you could see this coming. The ice was tilted. The Canadians took full advantage of some sloppy play and some careless use of the puck by the Senators, and they tied things up. And isn't it funny how this team can at times show the ability to look mature and handle a momentum swing and at times not. And certainly a lot of November, we saw this team not being able to handle momentum swings. Well, over the last little while, they've been able to adjust, and they did certainly show that last night as well, with Stützle scoring on the power play to restore the lead. And then Harvey Pinard scoring, 2 minutes and 2 seconds after that to make it a 4-4 game. And then, you know, with minute 18 left in the hockey game, Brady Tkachuk taking a perfect feed from Stützle and scoring to give them the lead and the eventual win. So, sign of maturity for sure. And gosh, I know I said on this show many times that I'm going to stop using that term because there was too much inconsistency to the team's game. But I suppose it's applicable when a team's able to come back after giving up a lead and eventually getting the win.
It's easy with recency bias and a 4-point game, but Tim Stützle's game obviously taking it to the next level last night. And Lloydie and I were gushing about him earlier on in the show. Where have you seen the biggest improvements within Stützle's game over the course, of his entire career so far?
You know what I'm going to say right off the top of my head, Kenny? I'm going to say his ability to bounce back. And we've heard him say a couple of times, in particular, the last month or so, him say, I haven't liked my game. And we've interviewed him post-game when he's had some success. And even last night, he said, I didn't like my game the last five games. So he had gone five without a goal. And I think his ability to read the situation and know that he does have the ability to take over a game is really starting to connect with him. And I think it's only onward and upward. The more experience he gets, the more confidence he's going to get. And obviously, with confidence comes production. And we saw it last night with a two-goal and two-assist performance, and was a standout on goals that were needed by the hockey club. The assist on the game winner, the equalizer with goal number four. Just things like that are starting to become more prominent for this young man. And boy, oh boy, you ask anybody on any other team and they'll say he's a target in game preparation from the opposition. You have to be careful of what Tim Stutz is going to do, because he has the capability at 21 years of age of changing the face of a game and changing it very quickly. And he did so last night.
Nikita Zaitsev, I brought this up earlier in the show, and Gord, he still, you know, had some moments last night that, you know, the moments that have fans sometimes scratching their head, right? And the reason why he ended up spending some time in Belleville. And I'm going somewhere positive with this. And I mentioned this earlier. I want to get your thoughts on it. On the game-winning goal, that might have been one of the most positive plays he's made this season. And he also, you know, we thought he scored, but it went off Giroux's hand earlier in the game, right? He picked up a point there.
Yep.
But the puck gets dumped in, and he has a great look off the forecheck. Everybody thinks he's going to go D to D to Shabbat. He had a little body language that way. He goes north-south quickly.
Yeah.
On the tape to Joseph, bumps to Stutzle, Brady, game over, right? That's the game-winning goal. And I just wanted to bring it up again with you, because I mentioned earlier in the show, because the guy's taken so much grief. And listen, his play, a lot of it, I understand why. I get it.
Yeah.
But let's give him a little credit when something goes well. And he was a big reason why they win that game. He started that. It was a really nice up play after a good look off to get that thing rolling.
Yeah, that was on the right side wall, right? I'm just trying to picture it in my mind here, and you're right. And there had been times throughout that period in particular where the Senators' decision-making was not good in their own end. And so this was one particular play. And, yeah, it's deserving of being brought up, because the play has got to start somewhere, and it has to start with a smart play. And Zaitsev made the smart play there. He eluded a forecheck and got the puck moving lickety-split. And there have been times, and I've been critical of it, and you can see it from where we sit, that there's a slight hesitation to his game.
And he didn't hesitate there. He moved it.
No, exactly. Instant decision. Okay, the availability is there for Joseph. Let's get it to him. Let's get the puck moving quickly and effectively. And that's what he did. So, and is deserving of the credit. There's no question. But let's also admit that you and I had been texting throughout the course of the game last week.
Going,
boy, there's an issue here. You know, there are some things. And, I mean, we don't pick on one guy. It's, you know, I look for your observations from afar, and you offer opinion, and I offer opinion back from up close. And you know, to me, I think that's very helpful to the broadcast. It, for whatever reason, shows just how much respect I have for you, and I can't figure out why, but it's quite helpful.
Yeah, I'll take all the credit. So every time Gord speaks, he's just parroting me. You're just hearing my voice, folks. Just sure, that's the way that goes. But no, it's listen. There's a lot of there's still issues, absolutely, but I don't know. Maybe I was spending too much time on it. It struck me just because we haven't seen nearly enough of that decisive play, and we saw it, and it was successful. It's like, do it again.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, 22
more of that, please.
22 minutes, a plus two, killed penalties. So almost 17 and a half minutes at even strength. He was second on the team in hits with three. He got three shots directed at the net. He had one assist because of a shot that directed at the net that deflected off somebody out in front. And they talked about getting pucks through and getting people in front. Well, Claude Giroux just happens to be in front and takes one off the wrist of a Nikita Zaitsev shot that got through, changed direction, and it's in the net, and the Senators are up 1-0 early in the hockey game. So, yeah, you can't fault him or complain too much about his game. You can complain and nitpick about certain plays, and you can do that with everybody on every play. I thought Thomas Chabot's game was outstanding last night, but at the same time, there were a couple of decisions that were made that were incorrect. And you talk about them, but at the same time, he had an impact on the outcome of the game, and the outcome was very positive.
Gordon, one of your lines of questioning post-game to the players was about this break coming in the midst of a four-game winning streak and whether it comes at a bad time. And overwhelming, it was guys have bumps and bruises, and we need the time off, and we'll enjoy the time. Did you get a sense in their body language or what they were saying that the break doesn't come at the best of time, even with the bumps and bruises they have?
Yeah, there's no question, Kenny, when you're on a roll and you've got the momentum, you want to keep it going. But at the same time, this break is marked off on the calendar. The players, and Claude said this the other day, that there's a reason why the Players Association asked for this in the collective bargaining agreement. It's a grind. It's a real grind. And with parity as it is right now, it becomes even more of a mental grind. It's physically taxing, obviously, but at the same time, mentally, you've got to be as sharp can be for almost on a nightly basis, certainly 4 or 5 times a week. And then I add to that the practice time. So it was much needed. I, to be honest with you, I knew it was going to be sloppy last night, but I didn't think it would be as 9-goal well executed as it ended up being, to be very honest with you. When it was 3-2 after 2, I thought it was going to end that way, or I didn't think the third period would be the highest scoring period, let's put it that way.
Couple of other points I want to hit on here. Let's talk about the three players that went back to Belleville after the game, because there's an update from David Foote, who was speaking to Troy Mann today. We'll start with Ridly Gregg. So Gregg is one of the players that went down, but Troy Mann confirmed he's only going to practice. He is not going to play in the games this week. And then they say they'll reassess, which I know there was some concern because you can get hurt in a practice as well. We get that. But the point is, Gord, it's he's not just a young player. Get him down, get some reps, which usually on the surface is never a bad thing, right? But the problem now is, and it's a good problem, the Ottawa Senators need him healthy and ready to go against Edmonton. He has become that important that quickly to what they're doing with their top three lines.
Yeah, without question. And here you can say this is a passing grade to Ridly Gregg, because when he got called up, the question to DJ was, what's the plan? And he said, the plan is we've got a break coming up in 4 games. He's going to get the opportunity to play 4 games. Well, in 4 games, he had an immediate impact. In 2 games, he had an immediate impact. In 1 game, he had an immediate impact. Claude Giroux was NHL's first star of the week for a reason, not just because of Claude's play, but Claude will tell you as well, Ridly Gregg was a huge contributor. I called him the Red Bull of the line, just because he injected some energy in both DeBrincat and Claude. And I missed something there. Gregg was given the chance, and he took full advantage of it. And DeBrincat benefited, Giroux benefited from it, and as a result, and that's an interesting point that you make up. I was talking to somebody today about what's going to happen with Ridly Gregg, and will he go down and play, because there's a chance that you can get hurt, and yeah, you do need him come February 11th against the Oilers, and the rest of the, potentially the rest of the schedule. You're not going to have Josh Norris for the rest of the year, so if he can maintain the pace, he's going to stay up here. I don't think there's any question about that.
Mark Kastelic also went down, and to me that was a little more surprising. Now, he'd been scratched the last 3 games, but it'd been kind of weird that, you know, he took 2 pregame warm-ups during that. He was practicing. He was putting in extra work, and Coach DJ Smith had said that maybe he was a little nicked up, but you kind of get the sense that maybe that was more coach's decision than injury. Well, you know, the coach down in Belleville did say he's got a minor upper body injury and he won't play this week, but the plan is he'll go to Cleveland next week and play then for the game at least next Friday, the night before the Sens return to action. What's been your read on Kastelic, who his last shift, maybe we should note this if he's dealing with a minor upper body injury, Gord, his last shift for the Ottawa Senators was his fight against Adam Lowry, which, you know, that was tough. That was he hung in there, but he, well, Let's just say he hung in there, and that's the last time he was on the ice for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, that's a good point that you bring up here, and it's interesting because, you know, the coach in the past, when he's described players who have come up for that proverbial cup of coffee, four or five games, and then get sent down, the coach's line has been starting to leak a little bit of oil. And when that happens, you get him back down into a spot where he's going to be a little bit more dominating, get more opportunity at power play, penalty kill, play more important minutes. I think Mark, in his case, and the fight is with Lowry is an interesting one because it wasn't a successful one for him. And then all of a sudden, he's out of the lineup. The coach has not used the term leaking oil to me at all, and it's always been he's a little bit banged up. But then you see him at practice, and everything looks fine, and he participates in a couple of warm-ups, pregame warm-ups, as you said, and everything looks fine, and then he's not in the lineup. The fact that Dylan Gambrell has been put into his role, and they've won four in a row, is an indication that you're getting a little bit more of what the coach has asked for, and that's speed. And I think, Steve, this is not a knock on Mark. It comes with experience, but I think decision-making process, and it only gets better when the more experience you get, the better your decisions will be when you have the puck or come in going after a puck. Dylan Gambrell Gambrell is ahead of him in that department. And I think he's probably ahead of him a little bit in speed. If you want somebody who's going to be tough and physical and be hard on the forecheck, by all means, Mark Kastelic is your guy. But there comes an experience factor as well that has to come into play. And Dylan has it. And let's be honest here, as a fourth-line centerman on this team, they're 4-0 with Dylan Gambrell playing a consistent role. Can he score? Nope, he can't. But right now, you need that fourth line to do what Gambrell is providing that fourth line, and that's get in on the forecheck, muck around, spend time in the offensive zone, warm up the next couple of lines that are going to get a chance to possibly get on the ice and continue to wear down the opposition players if there's time spent from the fourth line in the O zone. And Gambrell's provided that, really.
Well, and by the end of the game last night, people didn't notice. Pinto slid down and Gambrell went into his spot as Pinto didn't have the strongest of games. So that's just an in-game adjustment that was made, and not to read too much into anything there. Last point is the other player that was returned, which ties into another storyline, potential storyline, Gord. So Matt Sogard was the backup. He goes down, obviously. The plan is he's going to play Saturday. Mandalese will play tomorrow. Sogard will play Saturday for Belleville. But then it sounds like somebody's going to come up and sit on the bench to back up Forsberg against Edmonton on the 11th. As Darren Dreger let us know last night that he's hearing that the Talbot injury is a 3 to 4 week variety. So if it's three from the time of injury, he misses the first three coming out of the break. And if it's four, it's six games, and there's two back-to-backs in that six-game stretch. So, Gord, is this team comfortable playing somebody other than Forsberg, and the other is either Mandalese or Sogard, in a game or two because they got a lot of hockey coming right out of the break?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the answer to your question, for me at least, would be yes, they should be very comfortable. Mads has not had the season that anybody anticipated. He's been hit hard by injury and has not nearly played enough to warrant really good, solid development. And he admitted to that himself and on the practice ice or just after practice in Ottawa the other day, and that was it's not been a good season for him. He's been hurt, and yeah, it's affected him. That being said, I don't think there's any better spot to be in for an instant development refresher, if you will, in getting on the practice ice with the pros, with the NHL players. I think it would be a no-brainer to, if Cam Talbot is out for a little bit longer than anticipated, then it's a no-brainer for me to put Mads Sogard on the practice ice for as long as humanly possible for the Senators until Talbot comes back, whatever it might be. And if it means putting him in a game situation, I wouldn't hesitate. They did so in Detroit when he picked up his first win. I think, 1-1 in his NHL career. It's baptism sometimes by fire, and sometimes that's unfair, and you see if these young players can handle it. And if they if they can handle it, it's probably because they've become acclimatized to the pace and play of NHL hockey. So I wouldn't hesitate to have Mads up here. And right, you're right. You know, get them back in practice and in the groove, if you will, in Belleville, and keep them sharp, and then bring them back up here when practice resumes next week.
All right, a couple texts before we go. Okay, seriously, where can I get a copy of the Meow song? Please, please, please make this Meow mix available on Spotify, Kenny. Love it. That's from Eric. Oh, my God, Ken Dog, you killed it. Gord Meow beat, well done. And finally, Gord Meow Star Wilson. That's your new nickname, apparently. You're Meow Star now.
Well, listen, don't ask Meow, but we're getting the job done, Kenny.
All right. Thank you, Gord. You enjoy. It's a little time off, but we'll talk to you again coming up on Friday.
Sounds good. Way to go, Kenny.
Bye, Goody. It'll be good up job. Shortly. Well, it's already up there.
Enjoy Flint.
I will.
Bring your own water.
Yeah.
You don't hear that every day. Enjoy Flint. All right. Thank you, Gord.
Okay.
Dean will join us tomorrow. Gord's back on Friday as our Sens and NHL insider. We'll take a break. Back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Shabbat, Stutzle through the box. DeBrinket scores! Power play goal from DeBrinket.
Alex DeBrinket finishes this game off on a...
DeBrinket. Power play goal from DeBrinket.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, so Kenny, you've posted on our website if people want to check out your latest creation. Is that what's going on?
It's on the Twitter machine. It should be on Spotify.
Okay.
I haven't put it on the website yet. Maybe I could. All right, I'll do that. Fine.
Easy now. I'm no rush. I'm just asking questions here.
All right, because... it's under the TSN featured page. Okay. On the right-hand side, if you scroll down, you can see some of the featured interviews, and in this case, audio samples that we have. It's there now.
Okay. All right, let me just check this out here. I'll make sure you're not lying, okay? Because I'm going to do something else here to, as we always try to promote, right?
Indeed.
Segue to other things. So I'm going to tsn1200.ca, and I'm going to I'm there now, Kenny. So I'm going to where now from the front page? Where am I going, Kenny?
You scroll down a little bit.
Yeah,
and you have all the main interviews on the right down the center.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
then on the right-hand side, you have what's on now, which is In the Box. You and I are speaking on the radio right now.
Oh, there it is. Gord Meow intro.
Yeah.
It's
right there. It's that fast.
You find it that easy, because then right underneath that grouping is the link to our Twitter page, and where you can take part in our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day. So let's update that, shall we? Hasn't moved very much, but wow, 3,256 votes. Folks, that's a lot. For when did this go live? What time this morning? I want to say 8-ish.
7:05 it went live.
7:05, there you go, thank you.
That's right there on it.
Oh, it does. See, this is why I asked you to, as I actually look at it, it says, February 1st, 2023, 7:05 a.m. Well, it didn't say Eastern Standard Time, though, Kenny, so there. Brady's leading. Who's been Ottawa's most important player first 50 games? Brady, 41.8%. Tim Stützle, 32%. Claude Giroux, 18.1. Jake Sanderson, 8.1. Keep them coming, but we are now pushing 3,300 votes already to this web poll question of the day. Brought to you, as always, by the Tool and Equipment Store. And so right above that, the webpage, you can find Gord Meow intro. You know who's going to love this the most, right? Our good friend Graham Creech.
Yeah, probably.
He's a big fan of the meow. So he'll really enjoy that you did this.
He's going to be disappointed that he wasn't on the show that it had happened on. That's where his disappointment's going to be.
Now, you asked, because Gord was asking the questions about, You got the break. Who doesn't like a break, right? Breaks are good.
Yeah, breaks, like breaks are good. I like breaks.
Breaks are good. But in the if you're in the world of professional sports where your job performance is based on your wins, and you haven't had as many wins as you would have liked to this point of the season, there is something to be said for, it's too bad the break comes now because we are playing, we feel good about ourselves. But Darcy points out on text, remember, boys, rest is a weapon. Let the boys heal up over the break. They'll continue the streak rested up. There you go. Rest is a weapon. That will always be a thing here. Thank you, Gee. There are certain buzz phrases from coaches over the years that, you know, have staying power. That one has staying power for Gee. Jacques Martin was, he had a couple, like, win the battles. Got to win the battles. Yeah. No doubt. Gee is rest as a weapon. Paul McLean had a bunch that I liked. It's an everyday league. I like that one.
You go to that one often?
Yeah. It's an everyday league. Do it again. I like the simplicity in that.
Whereas, Dave Cameron have any? Sorry.
Because
he was more of a storyteller when he got going.
Dave told the best stories and still does. He tells the best. He's got anecdotes and stories that just make you laugh, right? That it will always link into, there's a point. My favorite is the flush when he's a kid back home and they played on the basically lagoon, which was the pond that took care of all the sewage for everybody in the area. And that would freeze and they play on that. And there was one corner where that's how he tells the story. He knew that Mum wanted them back in for supper because there was two flushes they could see. You know, it didn't have cell phones back then. Hey, supper's, why don't you get back here? No, flush. It's dinner time. Guess we're done here, guys.
Save the voice. Don't have to yell.
Yeah, that's good. Anyways, all right, we'll get a few more of your text messages before we run out of show here. Keep them coming at 1200. Oh, I should mention this as I'm scrolling down because we had a million answers correctly to our very easy trivia question. Who did you select as our winner for the four-pack of 67's Generals tickets?
Oh, Tommy T and the OT.
Oh.
Yeah.
Old school.
Old listener. And just an old guy, really.
Oh, really?
Tommy T and the OT, yeah. And Andrew, I'm sorry, but your text in 45 minutes after the contest didn't get selected. Sorry, buddy.
Okay. All right. Some other thoughts. This one came in from Homer Hugh and Hogsback. I'm torn on the Sens winning right now. Trying to balance between wanting them to develop a winning attitude against sliding into the mushy middle as a result in a high-end draft year. Homer Hugh and Hogsback. I don't know. It's... I can't get, and I think everybody, I'm not going to tell you how to fan. That's something I say often. I'll never tell you how to fan. Here are my thoughts. Of course, would you like to get Connor Bedard in your lineup? And there's an interesting Bedard story for tonight. Incredible. Yeah, of course. That this guy is, he's the most talked about, highly rated, draft eligible prospect since McDavid, who was the same ilk since Crosby. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Not saying he's going to be exactly like those two guys, but the hype is that's the level it's at, where all the scouts agree, like, real deal, right? Generational gets used way too much, but I think it's okay in this sense. I think we can use that term and not say it gets used too often when you're talking about Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
So, of course. But where the Senators are right now, man, like, if they went into the tank and just played awful, like had another November. Novembers have never been good the last few years. If they Novembered the rest of the way, that would not be good at all. That would hurt, I think, some development of their excellent young players. You'd be questioning direction and all that. So, no, you don't want that. You want this team to play well. You want this team to play well enough at minimum to play truly meaningful games. Like games that's like, guys, we're in this, we need this one tonight, and we get into a playoff spot tonight with this win. Or we get to within a point or two. Like, they're not quite to that level yet. I think there's a, at this point with this group, they've got their young stars and future stars. It's in place. It's pretty much in place with the core. Don't you want that group playing well together and learning how to win together and make it a push together? I do. I think that's the most important thing right now. So I understand, but I wouldn't get too, oh, they're winning too much. Man, 2017 was a long time ago. I don't need to tell you, Sens fans. Winning too much? Come on. They don't win enough.
Yeah.
It's time to start winning enough.
Well, let's take a look at this from a tanking perspective. They're ranked 22nd in the NHL right now, which isn't where they thought they would be heading into February. But the teams below them, Columbus and Chicago, both have 34 points. They may not get up to 51 points over the course of the season. There's a chance that they don't collect another 17 points over the rest of the season. In that case, you're not going to have the best or second best odds. Anaheim has 37, Arizona 38. Again, same thing. You can't win too many more games, if any, in order to have those teams pass you. So you've already negated your chances at Connor Bedard dramatically. You'll have, what, less than a 50% chance of even having a small percentage of a chance at Connor Bedard. So now you're into that meaty middle type of underperforming team where a couple extra wins aren't going to hurt you. I think it's better for development to continue to push, try and win games. They're not in a good position. I'll say that before I say this next part, but they're not that far back, but they have too many teams to jump. There's a big obstacle in their way, but you look at it as the overall view, they're 6 points back of Pittsburgh and Colorado. Colorado, a legitimate Stanley Cup contender again. They're 6 points back. They're closer to getting to those teams than being with the absolute lower rung teams of the NHL and the best opportunity to get Connor Bedard. Does it make a difference to me if they gain 1%, 2%, maybe 3% a chance of getting Connor Bedard? Or their odds, or the percentage chances go up that much? I don't see it. I see the development of this team dramatically improving if they can continue to win games and push to win games instead of trying to head the other direction. And I understand that doesn't indicate what the team is going to do, what fans want. But if I'm a fan, I want to see wins. I want to see this team being competitive on a night-to-night basis.
All right. We'll take a break. One final segment. A little bit of breaking news. And they touched on this storyline on Insider Trading on TSN last night, and this is about selecting the next executive director of the NHLPA, because Donald Fehr is outgoing now. After, it's amazing when you think he's been like on the job 13 years. Remember that was supposed to be temporary,
yeah,
for Donald Fehr, and after what he was like 29 years leading the baseball union. Anyways, so Dregs passes this along on his Twitter feed. Interesting development in the NHLPA executive director search. Sources say Marty Walsh, current U.S. Secretary of Labor, is believed to be the top candidate. NHLPA board will meet tomorrow to further discuss. A vote is required by the board to complete the process. Walsh is now 55. He's a former mayor of Boston from 2014 to 2021 when he resigned to serve in U.S. President Joe Biden's cabinet. So it looks like Marty Walsh could be the guy to be next up to lead the NHLPA. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. One more segment still to come before we turn it over to the drive. Creatures back today with AJ. And the Cam is producing. That's next at 2 on TSN 1200. You should splice in a meow meow there, Kenny.
If I'd been on my game, yeah. I should have.
You're getting a lot of love, though, still.
I'm pretty good at it.
Currently jamming out to the Meow Mix on Spotify. Might need to put this in the playlist for Beer League Monday night. If you missed it, Kenny's got a new Gord mix, and it's a Meow Mix. It's very good. And you can find it on our website at tsn1200.ca. Just talking about the draft and goals for the rest of the season. A couple texts came in, and that's going to get to the story I teed up I didn't get to yet. We're almost out of show. I don't need much time for it, but it's impressive. Jake in Blainville writes, so you're saying there's a chance, LOL, So you're saying there's a chance. I'd rather they win more. Make it interesting. I personally don't think the Sens will make the playoffs, but hey, you won't know. And at the same time, it can motivate the players for 23-24. Have a great day, Jake in Blainville. This one comes in. I'm about winning. The Oilers are fun to watch with McDavid. I'd rather win the Stanley Cup than have Bedard. My point is, the focus should be on getting better as a team, not having an outside shot at the next McDavid. I hope he ends up out west.
I don't. I want to see him more. And I don't stay up late, Lloydie. You stay up late sometimes. You watch some Western games more than I do. I want to see Bedard as much as possible. Already getting robbed of it, not having him in the OHL. Would have loved that, to have another Connor McDavid type in the OHL. I want him in the East. I want to be able to see him as much as possible. But saying that, being a big Andre Tourney guy, wouldn't mind seeing him go out to Arizona. That'd be fun.
Well, but if he goes west, what if he goes only one time zone away? What if he goes to Chicago or Nashville?
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. That wouldn't be terrible. Chicago doesn't need another one. That's always been my point. I don't want to see Chicago get another one.
I've seen a lot of conspiracy theorists because Chicago's such an important market, right?
Yep.
Little Patrick Ewing cold envelope action. Is that where he's going to end up?
Johnny Hockey and Connor Bedard creating some magic in Columbus for a little bit.
Oh, speaking of Columbus, they had a decent forward trade chip on an expiring contract, and now Gus Nyquist is out for the year with a shoulder injury that they say does not need surgery. But I saw another update that there's a chance he might be able to play before the end of the regular season, but it'd be past the trade deadline. So that might open up the door to the old, remember the old Riley Nash trade from a few years ago, where that's a good way if you don't have cap space and the Leafs grab some depth, traded for a guy that was injured that they knew would not be ready until the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe Nyquist could be that kind of an acquisition for somebody. But anyways, almost out of time here. The Bedard thing. So Regina's playing in Calgary against the Hitmen tonight. And it's going to be on TSN, by the way. I think Carlo Koliakov is going to be part of the coverage. So that game is in Calgary tonight. Now the Hitmen play at the Saddle Dome. And I'm not watching Hitmen. I would imagine, Kenny, there's curtain action usually.
I would have to assume so.
They sold it out. It's a sellout for a WHL game. Wednesday night, February 1st, middle of the winter, WHL, Calgary Hitmen, Regina Pats, sold out at the Saddle Dome. There's going to be close to 20,000 people there. And the only reason there's that many people there tonight, they're going to watch Connor Bedard. That's incredible.